Let us bide in prayer and let's ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Father, let us come in worship and we glorify you. Father, we thank you. It's good to be together as your people, even though in a sense we're in our own homes. We know that we have a spiritual unity in you. And Father, we praise you and we acknowledge you as the God who is sovereign. Lord, even in a day like this when so many things are difficult, Father, we want to pray for our country. We pray for the health system. Lord, we pray for folk who are struggling with sickness and particularly with COVID-19. Lord, we ask that your hand of grace would be evident, and Lord, that your church would arise to the opportunities that are given to us at this time. Lord, we thank you for this great chapter on the heroes of the faith. And Father, we ask that just as these heroes stood out in their day because of their faith, that we too would step out of our comfort zone, trust you to do the impossible. Lord, we thank you that you instruct us in your word to be proactive, to trust you, and Lord, to believe. And I just pray this morning that as we go through this Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, that indeed we'd be called to step out of our comfort zones and Lord, to trust you for what is best and what is good. Father, we pray now that you'd speak to us and minister to our hearts. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Well, it's great to be together here, and we are missing you, but it's certainly good to continue in our series. Our series is Real Faith in an Unreal World. I think it's the fourth in the series. We certainly live in a different world compared to just a few months ago, and yet God calls us to have real faith. We've been taking a look at Hebrews chapter 11, the gallery of the faithful, men and women who believed in God and decided to trust him. We certainly see people who stood against the odds of their day, and we too are called to be people that stand out in faith and trust God for what is right. I trust you're getting a handle on faith, because certainly God expects faith, God responds to faith, and God rewards faith. I will say to people that if we don't step out in faith, we'd miss what God intended for us to experience. We've seen already in our series that the starting point of our journey of faith is faith that worships God. The heartbeat of faith is a faith that walks with God. And today we're going to see in the life of Noah the expression of faith, that faith works for God. We saw that Abel drew near to God in worship. Remember, he brought an authentic blood sacrifice. He acknowledged he was a sinner. We saw that in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11. We then saw that Enoch gave himself to an intimate walk of faith with God. And today we're going to see Noah's faith. It was a working faith. He expressed his faith in doing certain things. And we're going to discover that faith is a doing word. Faith has been compared to a tree. The worship of the Lord in faith is the roots. Walking in fellowship with God is the trunk and the branches, and working for God is the fruit. And I trust that your faith is going to produce lots of fruit in your life. Faith works. Faith is certainly a doing word. A young pastor became concerned in his day. He saw the incredible needs of his day, of people, street children. He saw the difficulties and he saw the impossibility of the situation. Well, George Muller took God at his word, and Psalm 81 and verse 10 became a motto in his life. Psalm 81 verse 10 says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it." Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And he took those words as a promise from God, and he prayed, he trusted God, and the rest of his life story is an incredible testimony to God's provision. As George Muller reached out to children who were on the street, he housed them, he clothed them, he fed them, he educated them. An incredible testimony. And at the peak of his ministry, there were 2,000 children under his ministry, all by faith. Faith certainly is a doing word. Some years ago, we saw a need, And we want to be involved and impact our community. And we introduced a Hope for Kids. It's a training program for school children, primary school children, teaching them the gospel, and in particular the evangelism explosion outline. It was a God thing. We heard God speak. We began to pray about it. We trusted God. We eventually got involved in a school. And there's a great testimony of many children. We saw about 60 children a year come to faith. And we discovered again and again that faith is a doing word. A.W. Tozer said the following: God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. Do you believe that? Faith is a doing word, and God is raising up Christians to do the impossible. Christian, do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do things that perhaps you can't even imagine in your life? Young person, adult, senior adult, do you believe that God can work through in your life and through your life? Our theme for this year is Kingdom Living in a Secular World. We've come up with a new mission statement: love God, love people, and serve nations. Remember Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the Lord through that will work. Seek his righteousness, and God will provide everything else that we need. God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity, says A.W. Tozer. We plan to do only the things that we can do by ourselves. Certainly God wants to do far more. Our reading today is from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, if you'd like to open your Bible at this great chapter on faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, Noah had a faith that worked. Yes, he worshipped God. Yes, he walked with God, but Noah also had a faith that worked tirelessly for God. This is the next perspective that God is showing us in this diamond of faith. Faith is like a diamond with many facets and colors and aspects, and that is so true. His story of faith, his testimony is found in Genesis chapter 6 to chapter 8. It's a story of faith, but also a struggle of faith. Of course, we need to realize that doing things for God isn't always easy. Let's read Genesis 5, chapter 6 at least, and verse 5 to 22. Genesis 6 and verse 5 to 22. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. And that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made the human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I've created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among all the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening of one cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with them. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. To every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. Now, we see that Noah lived in an evil generation, so evil that God decided to destroy it. We sometimes wonder if things can get bad in the undone generation, but in Noah's generation, God went as far as deciding to destroy his generation. God gave specific instructions, and Noah put shoes onto his faith. Let's take a look at Noah's faith, a faith that worked. The first thing I want to highlight this today is that is faith's workings. Noah determined to take God at his word. Imagine this for a moment. No one had ever seen a flood, perhaps not even rain. No one had seen the destruction of water. No one had ever drowned in a flood. No one could imagine what was about to happen. Imagine for a moment a boat on top of a mountain, and God says there's going to be a flood. Build a boat. What would you do if you were in Noah's shoes? What do you do if God says, do this impossible thing? You can't imagine it ever happening, but you know God has spoken. I remember some years ago we were involved in the construction of Hosanna Baptist Church in the Eastern Cape, a project that seemed seemingly impossible. We know that if we didn't have enough money to buy materials by December, people went away, that everything we had would be stolen. And we trusted the Lord. God said and led us to go ahead. And the rest is a glorious testimony to God's amazing provision. The church was built by the December that year. And the folks celebrated God's goodness and faithfulness. God said it. Noah did it. Faith keeps on keeping on. Noah determined to take God at his word, but let me see too that Noah decided to live out the promise. Hebrews 11:7 says that Noah built an ark. Noah did something when God spoke, when God warned him about what was about to happen. God said it, Noah did it. Faith always takes hold of the truth of God. Now faith involves the whole person, and this certainly is important. Noah's mind was warned of God. Noah's heart was moved with fear. And verse 7 tells us that Noah had a holy fear. Noah's will acted on God's command. It acted on what God had instructed him to do. Faith so possesses this man that he lived it out in his life. Noah listened to God and became a man of towering faith. And the question I want to ask you today is, will you become that man, that woman, who trusts God, who hears him speak and acts and works for God? Perhaps you've watched top athletes focused on everything they do. They practice day in and day out. And when they come to that race, they're so focused on that winning line. I remember as an athlete in my younger days, just focusing, working hard, and then focusing on that winning line. God was everything to Noah. He was focused. He slept, he dreamt, he ate, he did what God instructed. Certainly, if you do some things, you can't do others. And Noah was a one-man, a man who had a priority in his life. Noah had to build an ark. Noah wasn't just known for what he did, but also for what he didn't do. Noah had to give up certain things to live out God's promise. Do you know how long it took for Noah to build the ark? 120 years. That's 12 decades. Noah certainly was focused. Noah determined to take God at his word. He decided to live out God's promise, and then he desired to not get distracted. I don't know if you've heard some of the Noah jokes. They're a bit corny, but certainly your kids will enjoy them. But here goes for a few of them. What sort of lights did Noah have on the ark? Floodlights. What kind of animal could Noah not trust? A cheetah. Why could he not play cards on the ark? Well, Noah was sitting on the deck. Who introduced salted meat to the Navy? Noah, because he brought ham on board. What sort of vegetables weren't allowed on board of Noah's ark? Well, leeks. Certainly there are lots of corny Noah jokes. Noah must have been ridiculed for 120 years for his faithful obedience to God. Noah, the beach is down there, not up on the mountain. Noah, are you expecting your ark to fly? You see, when you trust God, your faith will be tested. It may even be ridiculed. We need to be aware of Satan's distractions. Abram, the man of faith, was discouraged. He waited so long that he tried to help God. And we know the sad story of Hagar and Ishmael. Moses was disillusioned. God was not working fast enough, and he murdered a man and ran for his life, and he spent 40 years in the desert. Elijah was so depressed. He feared for his life, and he ran from Jezebel. Peter was defeated when he denied Jesus 3 times. Paul was devastated. That pressure we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we find him at his wits' end corner. The text in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8 says, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so to be despaired even of life." How easy it is to get distracted in our lives. But Noah determined not to get distracted. Faith workings. Noah determined to take God at his word. Noah decided to live out the promise. Noah desired to not get distracted. But then we see, as we carry on, that we see faith's warnings. In verse 7 of our reading today, it says the following. Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. Faith certainly has everything to do with the future and the unseen. Andrew Murray, the great man of God, said the following. Faith lives in God's word and thoughts. It sees what the world cannot see. It sees all, the future too, in the light of God. When God reveals his judgment, it simply believes. Noah had received a warning from God of his coming judgment. Was Noah the only one who heard the warning? I don't think so. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 it tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He would preach to all the folk of his generation, but they wouldn't listen to his word. We see a warning heeded. Noah was moved by what verse 7 calls a holy fear. Noah had a godly fear, a sense of God, and a sense of sin. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Andrew Murray says that Jesus prayed with the same holy fear, under an utter sense and weight of what sin and death is. Both Jesus and Noah had a holy, godly fear. We're challenged in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 and 29. There it says, "Let us serve God acceptably with reverence and godly awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Do you have a holy, a godly fear, a sense of sin and death and judgment? A knowledge that men who reject the Lord Jesus Christ face eternity apart from him. Have you seen, I've certainly done that. I've seen men and women on the deathbed without hope, without help. They're so hardened against God that they simply cannot turn to Jesus. What a fearful thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. Faith lives in fellowship with God. It knows the secrets of judgment and of salvation. Here we see a warning that is heeded. But then also we see in Noah's life a work of deliverance. In verse 7c, it tells us in holy fear, Noah built an ark to save his family. Faith brought fear. And fear brought diligence, and faith guided hand and hearts for the work of deliverance. Noah had found a place of deliverance, a place of refuge. And for 120 years, for 12 decades, Noah toiled and worked for deliverance. The ark is a picture of a place of salvation. Let me say that again. It's so important. The ark is a picture of God's place of salvation. Noah worked for the salvation of his family. Faith knows the secrets of judgment and salvation. Faith knows where to run. Of course, that faith leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the good news of salvation, of forgiveness of sin, and of new life in Christ. Why has God blessed you? Why has he saved you? Well, a Christian is blessed by God to work for the salvation of others, his family, his friends, the world around him. And the question is this, are you working for deliverance? You see, that is the outworking of faith. That is what faith does ultimately. Faith is a doing word. Are you working for deliverance? Are you working for the salvation of other people around you? I'll never forget the story of a man, and there was a storm in England off the coast, and a boat sank, and they went out in the storm. It was the last time they could get out. The storm was getting worse and worse. And in the sea, there were a number of folk, and among them was this man, the sailor's son. But next to him was another young man. And the boat was full. They could take just one person on board. And the son cried out, "Father, this man is lost. Take him." Do you have such a passion for the lost that you long to see God save the people around you? A warning heeded, a work of deliverance, and then we see too a witness demonstrated. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, it speaks of the Christian's witness. For we are to God the aroma of Christ amongst those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, and to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Certainly, the message of our lives is to one condemnation, but to the other is new life. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, by his faith, Noah condemned the world. The difference between Noah and his wicked generation was that his generation was focused on worldly desires and wants, while Noah was focused on the Lord and on heaven. Noah's whole life was a protest and condemnation of the world. And certainly our lives too, if we are living in our faith, is a protest and a condemnation to our world around us. When other men broke God's commands, Noah kept them. When other men were deaf to God's warning, Noah listened intently to them. When other men laughed at God, Noah reverenced and worshipped him. It has been said of Noah that he threw the dark skepticism of the world into relief against his own shining faith in God. In an age where men disregarded God, Noah was God's witness for better, for worse, for conviction to life or condemnation to death. We've seen faith workings, we've seen faith's warnings, and finally we see faith's witness. The closing line of Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, "By faith Noah became heir of righteousness that comes by faith." This beautiful sequence that comes from the life of faith. Faith involves the certainty of belief, which produces obedience, which in turn results in witness. The author to the Hebrews tells us that Noah became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Paul wrote of this righteousness in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. The apostle Paul's desire was that he might be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own, but having a righteousness that is through faith. The righteousness, he says, that comes from God and is by faith. This is the righteousness that is necessary to save us, not a righteousness that we work up or earn, but one that is given from God, that is by faith, or as the apostle puts it so well in Romans 1 and verse 17, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. In other words, it's completely a work of God. God's gift of righteousness to Noah resulted in a life of righteousness. The gift of righteousness resulted in a life of righteousness because he became more and more like his Lord, or as Genesis 6 and verse 9 so beautifully puts it. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah was saved by his faith, his trust in the Lord. And there came a day when it began to rain, and it continued raining for 40 days without stopping. And Noah's generation began to think that maybe Noah wasn't so crazy after all. Noah got in his boat, and the jokes stopped for good as the water rose to their knees and over their still lips. Just as God came to Noah's generation and spoke through Noah, so he comes to our generation. And friends, he speaks through us. God speaks through you. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." What a tremendous responsibility we have to share and demonstrate our faith to a watching world. Noah won his family a great starting point. Friend, is your family saved? Is each one certain of their eternal destiny? I've certainly been blessed to have parents who prayed and witnessed to me. What a privilege to have parents that cared about my salvation. I remember there was a man in our congregation where I grew up, and he was an alcoholic. He began to lose much of his home, his assets, and so on. And then one day somebody shared their faith with this gentleman, and his life just turned around. And I remember him when I was a young boy. He'd learned scripture. He could share perhaps 100 verses at a time. So excited about his faith. Faith works. Friends, when our faith is working, people around us will know we love the Lord Jesus, because we share the good news about Jesus Christ. As I close this important question, is your faith working? Let's bow heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time where we can share together and be reminded that there needs to be an outworking of faith. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful example of Noah as he expressed his faith in the building of the ark. Father, as he listened to your warnings about judgment and he worked for the salvation of his family and even for his own generation. Father, I pray that we take heed, Lord, that our faith would be a living faith. That indeed we'd experience and witness the outworking of our faith, that we'd put shoes to our faith. And Lord, that we'd share the gospel and even about the judgments of your coming wrath. Father, we thank you that on this day we can reflect on another facet of faith. And oh God, I pray that as we take a look at our own lives, that we'd see an authentic faith, a faith that is true and real, a faith that is expressed. Friend, as we bow before the Lord, won't you just give thought to your own life and where you are with the Lord? First, it's so important that we know in a personal relationship. Have you come to the place of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you asked for the forgiveness of your sins? And have you claimed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, saving you from the consequences of your sin and freeing you? As John 10 and verse 10 says that Satan has come to destroy and steal and do harm to us, but you have come that you might give us life. Father, we thank you that we can have a living relationship and walk with the Father because you have opened the way to him. And friend, maybe as we bow before the Lord, you have never come to that place. You need to come to a place of acknowledging your own sin, your personal sin, and ask God to forgive you. Won't you do that right now? And then for Christians, as we just reflect on this sermon, is your faith real? Is God working through you? Are you reaching out and expressing your faith? Won't you give that consideration? And maybe it's time to change gear in your life and to become a Christian who has a real, authentic faith. Father, we pray that your Spirit would be our after counselor and that you'd speak into our lives. Father, we thank you all in your precious name. Amen.